15 pounds of leftover turkey, I really need that. Like, really. Let's keep our spirits up.
Tuned into Free City Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is Wednesday, the 30th of December. Thanks for being with us. I'm your host, Stefan Christoph. Free City Radio broadcasts every Wednesday at 11 a.m. here on CKUT, people-powered radio at 90.3 FM in Montreal. Today on the program, we're going to be highlighting an interview I did with David Bergeron-Cyr, who is the president of the Commerce Federation of the CSN Union, which is the Conseil Syndical National. That, of course, is one of the largest trade union federations in Quebec. David has been really involved in organizing around the situation that has faced the workers of Jean Coutu at the distribution center here in Quebec. Over the last months, a very important struggle has taken place. Jean Coutu distribution center workers, who are primarily relatively low-wage workers, but also essential workers, because we're talking about the distribution of goods in a pharmacy, including pharmaceutical goods, so medicine. They have been organizing to demand a more fair and just and equitable collective agreement. This is a really important case because I think it speaks to the possibility of organizing towards having a victory, because the CSN was able to negotiate a really meaningful shift towards a more beneficial contract for Jean Coutu workers. I think this is really important for anybody thinking about the ways that, you know, there has been a lot of discourse around supporting essential workers. But the question really is, how can their conditions change, especially, you know, workers in food processing plants or distribution centers, in agriculture? How can the work conditions change, not on an individual level, but on a systemic level? And I think this example of the organizing of CSN around the Jean Coutu workers is a really important example of organizing that is not a charity-based or sort of model that, you know, is trying to only express support for these essential workers, but it's actually an organizing effort that was based on trying to challenge injustice in terms of the workplace conditions. So I thought it'd be really important to speak with David from CSN about this organizing effort. So here's our discussion.
So my name is David Bergeron-Cyr. I'm the president of the Federation of Commerce of the CSN. The federation represents 30,000 workers in 330 different local unions. The warehouse of Jean Coutu is one of them. In fact, I'm a rank and file member of this local union also. So I used to work at the Jean Coutu. I'm on a union leave for 12 years now, but I'm still on the payroll and still a member of this local union. So, and we have around, out of those 30,000 workers, we maybe have 15,000-20,000 of them that are essential workers also. In grocery stores, meat packing, food processing, hardware stores. So it's been a challenge since the pandemic to represent and to build the power for our members.
Thanks so much for sharing that. So in regards to, I do want to speak about the general situation, but specifically in regards to essential workers around Jean Coutu, there has been strike actions. And that has gotten some media attention more in the Francophone press. Can you talk about some of the essential issues that workers were raising, mm-hmm. and also why it's important for people to pay attention to this issue? I mean, a lot of people go to Jean Coutu, but mm-hmm. Maybe are not thinking about the warehouse workers, which I know mm-hmm. are very specifically the ones that were taking strike action.
Yeah. What happened is that the warehouse used to be in Longueuil, and 3 years ago it moved to another city called Varennes. And when the warehouse moved, it also changed everything in the inside of the warehouse. Like 99% of the work that the workers used to do was changed now. So it's more automation, more robotics, more, you know, less brains, more muscle. And more, you always do the same repeated work day after day, hour after hour. And so and when this change happened, it created a lot of frustration in the amongst the workers, because there was the collective agreement was not respected in the new warehouse, and the seniority was not respected also in different matters, overtime, I don't know how to say mouvement medev in English. Mouvement medev is when you apply to a different position inside the working place. You're supposed to respect seniority, and this was not done properly in the new warehouse. So this created a very bad atmosphere, and at some point workers were even pissed against the CSN union, because we had some problems to face the fact that, you know, members were really pissed off. So we had to change the way we were doing things in the local union to really represent what they were thinking, and to really start putting them in a motion of mobilization and organization of building power, and you know, making sure that they participate, the members, in any ways that's possible, to let the employer know that they're not happy.
Yeah.
Not just like rely on the president of the local union or some union rep to speak on behalf of everybody. You know, what's even better is to put out there as much information as you can on the problems that the members are facing, and also, you know, speaking out loud the frustration. So once you start doing this, and you start mobilizing members, doing everything we can outside of an illegal strike, we managed to rebuild the union during those 2 or 3 years before the bargaining of the collective agreement. And this collective agreement that just ended, not this one, but the one before, was a long-term contract of 8 years, which is always a bad thing, long contract, even when it's a good contract. Long contract are bad because they put to sleep all the members, and they forget what's the union all about, because you know, collectively we are more efficient, more into mobilizing and developing power structures when we are bargaining collective agreements.
Sure. And also conditions change.
Yeah so all this lead up to the bargaining of this collective agreement just before the pandemic. And we started the bargaining of the contract with a strike vote of 99.6%. And there was 550 members that were at the meeting out of the 650 members that we have. And we did this by, like, au cinéparc, you know, like when you go to the movies outside, people were in their cars and they could vote this way. So because we were not like on Zoom yet and everything, so it was not possible to organize this way, but we did it in a more traditional way, if I can say so. And we had a very good turnout and a strong vote. So and around August, 90% of the normative clause, everything that's not monetary, everything that's not, you know, money worth, was settled. And we had a very good deal, very good deal. And we were ready to start bargaining the money part. And that's where the shit hit the fan, because we were surprised, since Jean Coutu was bought by Metro, which is one of the biggest grocery retail company in Canada, and also that their collective agreements in their other warehouses in Quebec for Metro, people are getting paid more than what they do in Jean Coutu, you know. So we thought that you know, at least we should have an equal pay, since we were in the same company now. But it was a high target. It's a high expectations, because it there's a big difference, you know. They were maybe around $30 an hour, and we were about $26 and $27 an hour. So there was a big difference. So I'm not talking about the sick days and everything, which they had like 14 in a year, and we have 7 in a year. So there was a big difference. And sick days, it's money, you know. So what happened is that since we saw that you know, the bargaining was not going forward for us, we decided to go on strike for 24 hours. And what happened is that the morning after the day of the strike, we were on a lockout. So there was a lockout, and the lockout lasts at least 6 weeks until we reach an agreement, which is a damn good agreement. It's the best collective agreement we have in 35 years. Wow. So we didn't achieve all the goals we had for monetary, but we had a very good deal. So workers are, it was adopted around 79%, so it's really high. And during the lockout, there was a lot of scabs, so this was a big issue for us. So it created a lot of animosity on the picket lines also. So we had more than 100 members who were arrested by the police, and two of our members were fired.
Can you describe some of those strike actions? Just describe for us how it went down, and just share with us the scene if you can.
Yeah. So mainly there was two things. You had to go on the picket line every day, but not every day. It was, I think it was 20 hours per week you had to do on the picket lines. And you have to go, we were organizing every day, or not every day, but every week and many times a week, demonstration in front of other Metro warehouses or Jean Coutu or Metro grocery stores, no? So mainly what happened with the arrest, it was on the picket line in front of the Jean Coutu warehouses, because you're not supposed to stop the cars from going in and out of the warehouses. And at the during the first day, we hold the line very tight. So nobody were able to go in or go out. So after 24 hours of the lockout, not the strike, but the lockout, after we received some judges, some judge injunction, and it was restraining our rights to, you know, to picket and everything, because we were slowing or stopping all the cars and buses and the trucks were trying to come in and out of the warehouses. So we decided to let them pass a little bit, because if we don't let them pass, we won't be able to do the picket lines at all, you know. So, but what happened is that the weeks went by, and we found out that there was not only employers or people from management who were working and doing our jobs. We found out that there were scabs. So what happened is that now the picket line got, you know, tighter. And now the cars, took them like 15 minutes to get out of the warehouses, of the warehouse, because the workers were stopping the cars, yelling, screaming, having fun, actually dancing and doing everything we can to show that you know, we won't be put down by those illegal practice by the company. And just give me a second, okay? Yeah. So at one point, some members were they started screaming and yelling and getting in an argument with the security that was there, with the security that was protecting the scabs, and so that led to a few arrests, and there was also like. And we were following to find out who they were and if they were scabs or not. We were following cars when they were getting out of the work. So that led up to a few arrests also. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. But when we returned to work, we on a passant un protocole de retour au travail. So everybody, all the arrests were, all the criminal charges were put down, and the workers that were fired, got rehired. So So everything is good. And there was an inspector from the government to watch out to inside, you know, to see if there were scabs, actually, with two of our union reps. That's when we actually got the confirmation that there was at least between 40 and 50 scabs during the day. So you might, you can add more during the evening, you know. So this really started the fire, and we actually never received the report from the inspector. I believe I have no proof, but I believe that the minister put his hand on this report and hold it on, and maybe called Metro and say, hey, you should settle it because that's going to look bad, you know. So we never saw the report, but we know that there was a lot of scabs in there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's it.
Thanks for sharing that. Can you talk about everything that went down and why it's important to you in regards to the context of workers' rights in Quebec? And also just talk a bit more about, you know, I mean, we're talking about health and safety. We're talking about equitable pay. We're talking about, you know, a context of workers having a living wage, you know, and, you know, a lot of discussion has happened in the mainstream media around essential workers and their importance to society. But, you know, the scenes that you're talking about are within warehouses or distribution centers that are far away from the storefront, right? And they're also far away most often from the cameras. I know that the strike that you're talking about got some coverage in the media, but most of the time we don't see these warehouses. So can you describe the warehouses, but also just talk about why these strike actions were important for the general context of the rights of workers to have a living wage and healthy working conditions in Quebec.
Yeah, but it warehouses and also all the food processing and meat packing plants are also unknown and unseen, and people, I think that, you know, sometimes we imagine that all this stuff that gets into those retail stores or grocery store, they got there by magic or something, but there's always a workers that's behind it, either driving a truck, riding a forklift, or working on the chain, you know, working on a chain in a food processing plant or meat packing plant. And it's tough jobs, you know. It's really hard. And Jean Coutu warehouse already had fair and good working conditions, but it's all the part of, you know, when the Metro bought Jean Coutu, they make a lot of money, yeah, and a lot of money. And during the pandemic, they are still again making a lot of money. So we need our fair share of this money, you know, because we are the one working and risking our lives out there, you know. So it's important during this bargaining, especially at Jean Coutu, it was important that workers express themselves and show solidarity to reach their goal. Without it, it would not have been possible to reach this kind of high quality collective agreement. And it's important because I think it puts on the public eye the importance of essential workers in the private sector. Essential workers in the public, you know, health sector are like super important, and they're living a hell that's a lot worse than essential workers in the private sector. You know, in the public health system, it's just a living hell right now. So, but. In the private sector, food sectors, we are also important. And let me bring you the focus also on grocery stores workers who have very bad working conditions compared to warehouse workers, where the average salary is more around $14, $15, $16 an hour in the grocery stores. Maybe the butcher on the back has got $18, $19, or $20 an hour, but most of the staff is close to minimum wage, and this is I think that it raises the question of if the minimum wage is too low. That's the first question, and the second question is how do we value those so important jobs for our lives? You know, how do we value them? You know,
so we need as a society.
Yeah, as a society. So we need to protect those workers, and we need to give them a living wage, a fair wage. And grocery stores, it's not what's happening right now. And this is something that I hope we're going to be able to change. They're going to be able to change you know, as members of their unions?
Well, the last question, David, thanks for sharing all that, is about the importance of the left and activists to think locally about the efforts that workers are doing to organize and to address these issues of systemic inequality and workplace injustice. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of, let's say, you know, in Canada, or even in a lot of the liberal media, in a lot of the mainstream media, we see a focus on worker conditions, say in the United States. But, you know, there, a lot of these issues are here also. I'm just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the importance of people paying attention to the organizing work. I mean, CSN has been around a long time, but has a very long history of combative syndicalism or combative unionism. I know that that's complicated. It's not always perfect. And there's a big struggle also, you know, to push CSN in that direction. But you're part of that. Yeah, if you could share any thoughts about this and the importance of people giving attention.
Maybe a few minutes on my central union, the CSN, and maybe a few minutes after on why we should focus on that. But, you know, the CSN union is 100 years old. So it's been there since 1921, okay? And it's not always has been a grassroots, a combative union. Okay, so this changed over the years, and since maybe the last 20 or 30 years, contracts are longer and longer in the private sector, and the public sector they're having a hard time to have a real win for the membership. You know, and the contracts are smaller, like 3-4 years old, but. They don't have big victories as much as they should have. And in the private sector, the contracts are 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And I even saw in the UFCW contracts, 10 and 11 years. So what's going on is that if you're very combative when you're bargaining the contract, but the rest of the time you're focusing on individual representation, you put aside the most important thing to build working class conscience, you know, which is collective action and solidarity, because you don't use those tools for 5 years, 6 years, 8 years, because you only use them when you are bargaining your collective agreement. So what you do is that you're weakening, the membership during a certain numbers of years. And when you are actually starting to bargain the contract 6 or 7 years afterwards, there's a good chance that the membership won't be ready for it because you know they have no experience, or the more experienced workers quit, or you know, so what I'm trying to do with comrades at the CSN, I'm president of my federation. I'm not forcing any local unions to do as I'm saying right now. You know, some employers are all right, you know. And you cannot focus on combative unionism like I'm talking about every time, everywhere, all the time, every day of the week. That won't work. It's not possible. You have to focus on the working places that need you the most, you know, and that they need it the most, and focus on those working places. So what we're trying to do is to develop, you know, power for the workers by making, you know, by joining them in collective action and mobilizing as much as we can, although we are outside of the bargaining of the collective agreement. That's the main goal that I have as a union man. It's the way I think we're going to bring back more power for them, and that there's going to be more working class conscience and everything, you know.
That was a conversation with David Bergeron-Cyr from the Federation of CSN. David is the president of the Commerce Federation of Workers at the CSN, which is the Conseil Syndical National here in Quebec, one of the largest union federations. As we've heard in this exchange, David speaks about the organizing of CSN union activists and workers at the Jean Coutu distribution center warehouse here in Quebec for fair and just work conditions. I thought it was important to highlight this example of union organizing in the context of the ongoing conversation about essential workers and their work conditions in the context of the pandemic. This is Free City Radio. I'm your host, Stefan Christoph. It is Wednesday, the 30th of December. Thank you so much for being with us. And to finish the show today, we're going to play a piece of music from Les Martyrs de Merde, which is an awesome band based between Montreal and Quebec City. This has been Free City Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM. We're with you every Wednesday at 11 a.m. till 11:30. I'm your host, Stefan Christoph. We also now work on a podcast, which you can find by searching for Free City Radio on Apple Podcasts. And also, you can find our archives on soundcloud.com/freecityradio. Also, you can find all of CKUT's programming and archives at ckut.ca. Do stay tuned. The F files are coming up next. And keep it locked to People Powered Radio at 90.3 FM.
A compensation claim for abuse at an Indian residential school, the records of your claim are secure. They will be destroyed in September 2027 unless you choose to keep them or share them. To learn more, call toll-free 1-877-635-2648 or go to myrecordsmychoice.ca.
To slow the spread of the virus, we need to press pause again. That's why once more, we need to stay home and avoid all non-essential travel. Gatherings are prohibited in red zones and are to be avoided in orange zones. And it's important to keep following the everyday health measures. Let's press pause again to curb the spread. Learn more at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves properly. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
Hello and welcome to the XX Files on CKUT 90.3 FM and at www.ckut.ca. It's one of those looks can be deceiving kind of days because it's very dark in Montreal, but it's so mild.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, I was really hot coming here.
Yeah. You were on your bike, right?
No, I had to walk here because the city took my bike away on Monday night.
How did they take your bike away?
They took it away. They decided to take out the thing that you attach your bike to.
Oh, the bike rack.
Yeah, the bike rack.
Oh, that's
right. And now I'm walking around hoping that they will call me soon to give it back to me.
Oh, no.
Yes, that's it. Thanks, the city. Thanks.
I guess we learn because now other people know. I guess you have to be careful about attaching your bikes to any bike racks that are still out there.
Be careful because I know a lot of people are still biking and they will be biking through the winter like I do.
So find a pole that doesn't move.
Continue to bike, but be careful where you park.
Exactly. So parking meter poles and lighting poles are the places to put your bike right now, probably until April, I guess. Those bike racks probably won't be back.
That's right.
Before the snow kind of melts, which it did last night and today. and we're